If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
So we are off and running on the noon business lunch today. We start with Tom Gimbel from the open to the program is always sponsored by JT Medicare Solutions. When you turn 65, remember, they will get you started. And today we start with Tom Gimbel, a regular guest on the show, the job expert and founder of LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back to the show. I trust you're doing well. That was a yes, right, Tom?
Yes. Yes, John. That was a yes.
Yeah. The first yes we didn't get. The second one we did. You wrote something interesting. I think it was on LinkedIn this week. And that was about learning to take criticism as a positive or something like that. Can you just walk me through your thought on that?
Yeah, I think so often we're looking for positive affirmation. And who isn't? Who doesn't want to be told that you're good at something? But those aren't the people that are going to help your career that always telling you how great you are. You know, remember the movie Whiplash?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And while that guy was a jerk, what he said was the two words that have ruined society and youth in our lives are good job.
Good job.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead.
And I think there's something to that. And I think that if the only people that you're getting feedback from or people that tell you that you're doing great, that you're going to the wrong people for feedback. I mean, that's a real problem there. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to be looking. And this is the important thing, John. Do you work in a place where you have recently been told that you've done something wrong? Work-wise, not behavior-wise, but that would be good too. But where you've been told that you did something wrong, that something needs improvement, that you could have done it better. If you haven't gotten that feedback, you should really question where you work.
Yeah, sure. I think we all have. I do think, though, it's a fine line, because in the movie Whiplash, that guy was not only offering constructive criticism, he was abusive, right? He drove that kid out of drumming.
He was a jerk. He was terrible.
Jerk
is
an understatement.
My point was more on that one lesson.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. But I do think it illustrates maybe how difficult it is to parse that sort of constructive criticism. You're talking about how it's received. I'm talking about how it's sent. Like, how do you best, for instance, I know some people say when you're going to go in and criticize somebody, offer constructive criticism, you start with a positive, then you put the negative in the middle, and then you close with a positive. Do you think that's the way to do it?
Well, that's a positive sandwich, right? Or a negative sandwich. And I think there's something to that, to set somebody up to feeling good about something. But I think it's more about being direct and saying to somebody, hey, John, I want to give you some feedback that isn't going to be about how great you're doing. And are you ready for that? And most people will say yes. Preface somebody. You don't want to come at somebody that you're actually trying to help with what they may perceive as an insult and not prepare them for it. But there's a difference between preparing it and then lauding them with fake compliments just to soften them up. Again, they're going to leave focusing on the good thing instead of the whole point of it was the middle part. And that's the problem with that. You got to give somebody the and listen, if somebody can't handle it the right way, they need it even more, because they've got to get a little bit tougher skin. And what I'm afraid has happened in the business world, if not the world in general, is that people have gotten so worried about delivering it in the most perfect way that they don't deliver it at all because it's too hard.
I do have the feeling, and I think a lot of people would relate to this, that you do feel the most satisfaction when you please somebody who has been critical of you. That boss that was always tough, and when he said a random good job or something, you really felt a warm glow inside, a real sense of accomplishment, because you knew that was a tough nut. They weren't always accommodating you. They were offering constructive criticism. And when you do come through for them, you feel better about it than when you do for the guy that's given everybody a handshake, you know?
I think so. And I think I'm sure I'm going to get hate messages for this comment, but it's very similar to, you know, back when we were growing up, where our moms tended to be nicer and more nurturing, and the dads would kind of just, you know, let you have it. And after you played well in sports or you did well in school, you wanted to go show it to your dad, you know, kind of like, look what I did. And there was something about that. And again, stereotypes have changed and roles have changed, and I think for the better in a lot of ways. But to illustrate your point of the person who's harder on us, we want to prove them wrong, which is really, truthfully, John, proving them right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you do want to. I understand wanting to work hard for that person that's tough. And I wonder, too, Tom, if this day and age has changed. I was listening to the radio this morning and somebody was on here talking about how the idea that your identity and happiness and satisfaction are derived from your work is an old school thing, that these days young people just don't value being on a work team so much. Similarly, I wonder if your ideas about criticism are a little dated, that you do need to package it in a little more user-friendly way.
Well, I think the problem is people want to have happiness derived from only things that are easy and make you happy. And the fact of the matter is, we know as parents that raising children is there's a lot more, heck of a lot, hard times than there are easy times. And the rewarding part is seeing your children survive and grow into something after overcoming the hard stuff.
Should you pull the employee to the side, or is it okay to offer that constructive criticism in front of other people?
No, I think it's better to do it to the side, but I do think that there is sometimes in a moment to say something. Again, then you should be a little bit more kinder with it, but I do think that you need to be direct. And, you know, spanking your kid 2 days after they do something bad isn't really going to help things. So you can't wait for your quarterly review to tell somebody where they should improve. You got to do it within the, you know, close to the moment of it happening.
That's interesting advice. Tom Gimbel, the job expert and founder of LaSalle Network. Okay, Tom, always nice to talk to you. Just one visit today, but we'll visit with you again next week.
You got it. Let's beat the Braves tonight.
Yeah, we're due. I mean, good grief. We haven't won a game in 3 days. It's 12:18. This is WGN. It's 12:22 now on the noon business lunch. And Philip Weiss joins us again, the president of SciFarth at Work. I like it when you sometimes give us bigger lessons from very specific stories in the news. And today, I think you have one, Philip, about Spirit Airlines, right?
Absolutely, John, and good to be with you again. Yeah, this is a really interesting lesson of sorts, particularly for startups, smaller businesses. Everyone's looking to be a disruptor. Everyone's looking to do something innovative, and with technology, that's probably easier than ever. And the lesson from the closure of Spirit, and not to say they didn't last for a while, because they certainly did, is here you have a company, John, a true innovative disruptor. Their change to the economics of aviation was really remarkable. They forced, in fact, these huge legacy airline carriers to change their entire pricing models. But the fact that they upended the basic economics did not exempt them from the same cycles, the same threats that really every airline should be aware of. And sooner or later, not paying attention to those threats can be the downfall of any company. So with the Iran war that we've been or are part of now, and the resulting spike in oil prices, given the fact that Spirit's entire business model, John, was about maintaining the thinnest, razor-thin margins, meant that when a hiccup like this occurred, they weren't able to withstand it. So that's interesting, because business leaders and business founders can think about that. I can change the entire industry, but I can't change or exclude myself from those cyclical threats that will reemerge sooner or later.
Wonder if they had a sense all along that they were that vulnerable to what you say is now a 12-week hiccup. But really, it is that. It's not been that long. The thrust of higher jet fuel prices being felt now is going to be felt in the future. But they evidently were operating in a way that didn't give them much leeway all along. The pandemic did not help them. But I wonder if they looked in the rearview mirror, what could they have done, should they have done to forestall this? Because the hiccup killed them.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. John, the reality is they've been looking to try to raise airline seat prices. They've been looking for some alternatives. And so they saw that there might have been a way out of this, but it was a little bit of the too little, too late reality. And your point is really well taken. In fairness to Spirit, they did change the nature of the industry. And they lasted as a low-cost carrier for two decades. But my suspicion is they would have liked to last a lot longer. I mean, these other airline carriers had been around in many cases from the 20s and the 30s. And looking at history, John, to your point, you think about twice, maybe three times in the last few decades, there have been these huge oil spikes. Back in 1973, 74, in the context of another Middle East war between Israel and its Arab neighbors, the oil embargo that resulted created a spike that was a fourfold increase in oil prices. This season, we're dealing with maybe a doubling in the prices. Airlines survived that hiccup. They were better capitalized. They didn't have these razor-thin margins.
Yeah.
So it's not to say a business owner can't look at history and say, my business partners, my market has experienced this before. I want to be ready for it looking forward.
It might have helped, too, if the Biden administration hadn't shut down their merger with, I think it was JetBlue, and there was, you know, it was kind of an antitrust movement, but in the long run, I think we would have been better if they had been allowed to merge. But let's skip all of that and just extrapolate from all of this, then, what should I take away for my own business?
Yeah, and by the way, your point's well taken. Government has a role to play and got to be proactive and forward-looking, so yeah. No question about that.
Yeah.
But for small businesses, John, bottom line is, one, study your industry's history. See when these contractions occurred and why. Even if it was decades ago and you feel that you're an innovator, you're not exempt. So think about how you'd weather that storm and prepare yourself for it. And really set yourself up for some level of margin resilience if you are a low-cost provider and that's your advantage in the short term. Maybe sacrifice some earlier growth or a pricing advantage and think about being properly capitalized at all times. And then if you're relying on one source of income, this isn't a Spirit issue, but we have a lot of companies that rely entirely on bank loans each year to set up operations. And companies have said to us recently, I'm looking at Spirit and I'm thinking maybe I should have alternate funding sources each year so I'm not relying on one factor or one source of funding or income. So there's a lot of ways to apply this set of facts.
That's Philip Weiss, President, Seyfarth at Work, Seyfarth, seyfarthatwork.com. We'll talk again, Philip. Thank you.
Great being with you. Thank you, John.
Okay. How much are you paying for your media and tech bills? Harvey Wells, lowertechbills.com, has got some tips for you. If you're a football fan, you'll want to hear this. And if you worry about your landline and what you're paying for that, we'll get to all of that after the news.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
12:35, make it 36 now. This is the Noon Business Lunch. Hi to you. This is John Williams. Ashley Byhun is our producer today. Producer Pete is gone. He'll be back later in the week. And Harvey Wells is a regular guest, the founder of Lower Tech Bills, lowertechbills.com. For a free tech check, email him, hmwells@gmail.com. Say it again.
hmwellsradio@gmail.com.
Somebody already had hmwells.
Yeah, they did.
Seriously?
Unfortunately. Yeah.
hmwellsradio@gmail.com. You were in the radio business for years and years. You still are, now that I think about it.
Yep, I am today.
hmwellsradio@gmail.com. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. We usually start off by me giving you a topic list, and as always, I've got 5 pounds of stuff in a 10-pound sack, or 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound sack. Let's
you
do it the right way.
You handed me a lot of sheet stuff with all of these streaming of services. That are out there. How many streaming services?
I handed you a sheet today that has over 100 different streaming services that people can subscribe to, which is ridiculous. And most people think about the big ones like Hulu and Disney Plus and Netflix and HBO Max, but there are many, many more available out there, well over 100. And the problem is that as people start looking at this stuff, they subscribe, they get a free trial, or they think they've got a free trial, and that trial ends, and they keep paying for it, and they don't realize it till the end of the month, and they go, what did this bill come from?
Yeah, well, that's why I don't love the best advice you give, which is that if, say, you want to watch all the Bears games, and you're listening to us outside the Chicago market, which includes Rockford and the Quad Cities and Milwaukee.
It sure does.
If you're a Bears fan and you want to watch the Bears games, then you need to subscribe to Netflix this year, right? And YouTube?
YouTube, yes, we'll have some games this year. Also, Peacock will have one exclusive game at least later this year.
There's one other platform. Is it Prime? Somebody
else? Prime is, does all the Thursday games.
The annualized cost of that is $600.
Well, you need to have a cable package to get 2 and 5 and Channel 32 here, so you've got to have some kind of package, unless you have an antenna, and good luck if you live in an outer suburb. You're just not going to get an antenna because it's not going
to
work.
Right, so to watch the Bears in these nearby towns, you need to subscribe to these services or go to a bar that has the game.
Yeah, and the thing is that these streaming services have all the money in the world, and what Roger Goodell and the NFL have decided is they want to become a worldwide sport, and who can blame them? For example, one of the earliest games this year is going to be the 49ers and Rams in Melbourne, Australia. There's never been a game in Australia, but every year there seems to be more and more games in Europe. Australia, last year they did one in South America.
We were in Mexico before.
And the streaming services like Netflix, for example, they're worldwide. So this is a big deal to Roger Goodell and the NFL, but not a big deal to fans who got to pay for the stuff.
What is that, the Australia game? What platform is that on?
That's going to be on, I believe it's going to be on, it's going to be
is
on
Apple.
Is it one
of the streaming services?
No, not Apple. It's going to be on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I got to have Netflix if I want to watch Netflix. The first game
yep.
of the year.
Yep. September 10th is when that game is.
Because it's not a Chicago Bears game. It's
right. So it's September 10th, and in Melbourne it's going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning game, and somehow it's going to be a night game here. Who knows?
Okay, but,
the day before.
But the
yeah, we'll know the score.
It'll That's be here news. Before it's even yeah. been played. But your point is that, okay, fine. Go ahead and subscribe to Netflix and then cancel it after the game or after the season and ditto all these other services, right?
It's a pain to do, John.
I don't want to do that. That's why I don't, I don't love that advice. I would rather just go to a bar or ask my friends if they have the game and I'll go watch it there. 120 different streaming services.
And that doesn't count the free ones like Tubi and the Roku channel. And I don't want to get into that right now, but there's a bunch of free streaming services. What I gave you was just the paid streaming services. And there's a ton of them for specific needs. You have Acorn and BritBox for people who like...
Okay, here's what
it's
I
just
want.
Ridiculous.
Here's what I want. Maybe this is a job for artificial intelligence, but say, hey, AI, you know me. I've got a digital platform. I don't know. Maybe I'll feed some information into it. What services should I subscribe to?
Well, I feel like I'm the non-artificial intelligence. I'm the regular intelligence. And the thing is, you have to look at each person individually for what they like.
Right,
that's
but I mean,
difficult.
I always say I like Netflix, but then I think so much of the stuff on Netflix is not that good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I don't go there first, so maybe I should just get Prime. But I wish somebody would tell me, John, I know what your lane is, and trust me, more of what you like is on this service.
I have a lot of clients who enjoy public television, and they like PBS Passport, which is a great deal because you give money to Channel 11 here, $60 a year, and you get PBS Passport.
$5 a month,
yeah. And then you also can get Acorn and BritBox, which are two streaming services which really work around the British BBC stuff.
I'm looking at your list. Acorn is $90 a year.
Yeah, and that's not a bad deal if you want to watch overseas TV. This is for people who are very inclined to watch public television.
And BritBox, I'm just looking at your list, is $110 a year.
Yeah.
So now I'm at $200-some a year for these fine services.
But then I have some clients who like concerts, and there's a streaming service called Stingray, and Stingray just streams concerts. So each individual will have a different implication as to what they want, and it all adds up.
So I guess I need to go to the apps tab on my TV. I've never seen Stingray, but I presume
You'd have to you have to download Stingray to get that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's a great concert.
Okay, so rather than just complain about how bad all of this is, because this is relevant, but just one last point about that, and that is, so Netflix and YouTube are the 2 800-pound gorillas. And you said that in 2010, Netflix started streaming shows at what cost?
About $7.99 a month. When they first began, they only did movies where they were like a movie service where they mailed you a movie and it cost.
That's right. Sure.
Remember that?
Sure.
And then around 2010, they started streaming TV shows and started making their own shows like Lillehammer and Orange is the New Black, things like that. And they charged $7.99 a month for their shows and a bunch of reruns of older shows. Well, in a little over a decade, they've now spent over $13.5 billion on original programming. And guess who's paying for that? We are. Because at $7.99, no commercial plan today costs $19.99 a month. It's $12 more a month. And
they would argue that, yeah, but you can get with ads.
With ads, you can get it for $8.99, but you got to sit through ads.
It hasn't gone up that much. And then you say, why am I paying the service when I also have to watch the commercials?
Yeah, and what you said just a couple of minutes ago is right. A lot of that stuff is not for you, which is why I go back to the pain in the butt, which is when I'm done watching something, cancel it. And I know that's hard to do.
Harvey Wells is here, and he's the founder of LowerTechBills.com. You say people should not have a landline. Are we paying for things
we
don't need?
Yeah, I think what I'm kind of agnostic when it comes to landlines, but unless you have a real specific need for, and there's no such thing as a landline anymore. They're really on the internet. It used to be a copper line came into your house, and if you lost power, you'd still have a telephone line. No longer the case.
Well, no, you do still have that copper.
It's all on the internet now, though. It all goes through your internet, even AT&T. Which is the originator of the copper line, is doing something called voice over internet protocol. Everything's over the internet. So if you lose your internet, you now lose your landline in most cases. And AT&T has already announced they are getting out of the landline business. Yeah, and they've raised their prices for those people who have them.
What am I paying for my landline?
Well, you're paying anywhere between $60 and $70 a month if you're still with AT&T.
No, wait, how much?
$60 and $70 a month for a landline. Some people who have the old-fashioned copper, because there's still a little bit out there, could be paying over $100 a month for a landline. And then Xfinity used to have a good deal on their landline where they would cost $30 a month. Now that's gone to $40 or $50 a month.
Seems to me like the bundle I'm in, they just say, we'll throw in a landline $5
yeah.
a month.
Be careful.
I got to check that.
Got to look at the fine print, because Xfinity used to have something called the Triple Play, which was $30 for the landline, but they gave you a $30 discount to have it, so it washed out. No longer the case. That landline now costs $40 to $50 a month.
They did not tell me this.
Howard, it's probably very small print on a bill that came at midnight one night 2 years ago.
Yeah, you don't love the you understand the value of digital billing, but you also think if they had the paper bill, we would be more circumspect.
I think that is absolutely the case. In a lot of ways, you do get a discount from most providers. For example, Xfinity will give you a $10 discount if you go paperless. My sense is if you don't look at your bill at least once a year, and really more, you're missing the fine print.
I get asked the question sometimes, how much speed do you need with your service? And I don't even know what they're talking about.
This is very important.
Talk about that with us
in
a minute. Stay right there. And you've got a question for Harvey, too. 312-981-7200. He helps you lower your tech bills. Some of you have called him. He's come to your house, and he's lowered your tech bills by how much?
I'll do that, and I've lowered bills. The average is between $2,000 and $2,500 a year, but we've gone as high as $4,000 a year for several of my clients.
And they still have electricity in their house.
The hamster died, so that was a problem. But other than that, yeah, it's working.
Harvey Wells is the founder of a business called Lower Tech Bills. LowerTechBills.com. He'll help you do just that. When I'm getting a phone service or a computer, they talk to me about speed.
This is one of the most misunderstood things. People seem to think that the higher speed that you have with your internet, the better your coverage is going to be, and that is absolutely false. Most people can do just fine with the lowest speed that's offered. If there are plans as high as 1,000 and actually 1,200 megabits per second, and a lot of people go, well, I have a large house, I need that much speed, and I'll go, no, what you'll need is an extender, which is very different than speed. Most people can get away with the lowest plans available and be just fine, unless you're on an Xbox for 14 hours a day, or you're doing an amazing amount of heavy-duty computer work. And I tell people, basically, you've got a Ferrari in your garage when a Camry would be just fine. And you don't know unless you lower your speed. And one of the things that if you hire me, what we do is we lower that speed, and if it's for whatever reason doesn't work, then we can always up it. But you'll never know if you're overpaying unless you go down to the base first. Barbara, very important.
Barbara's on WGN Radio. Barbara, how can we help you? What's your question?
He said that landlines, you know, they're exorbitant prices, you know, 70 and up. I'm paying like $32 a month for my landline phone. And to me, and it just went up from $27 to $32.
Yeah, it's going to go up more. And one of the things that I recommend is that people go to Best Buy and buy something called UMA. And I get no money from UMA at all, O-O-M-A. You buy the base. It costs one time. I've got it on sale for $79.99. I bought it on sale. And then it's $9.99 a month after that. So the first year, it'll cost you $200, and you buy the base and the $9.99. And after that, it's just $9.99 a month. And you cannot get a better deal than that. And you can use your old phone number if you want, or get a new one.
And that's in lieu of a landline?
Yes, that'll do
cancel
exactly
your
what
landline service.
Yes.
This is Will. Thanks for the call, Barb. Will, you're on WGN. How can Harvey help you?
Hey, Harvey. How you doing?
Great. Good. Thanks.
I don't have a Ferrari in my garage.
Neither do I.
I do like speed. I just switched, actually today, to a plan that was supposed to be 1 gig. Now, is 1 gig 1,000?
Yeah, that's 1,000 megabits per second. Now, I will tell you, that if you look at your bill carefully, they will say speeds as fast as, which means that that speed of 1,000 megabits will happen at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning when no one else in your neighborhood is using the Internet. On the other hand, unless you're doing something extraordinary, I don't know why you would want 1,000 megabits unless you just want to impress your friends. Mine's bigger than yours. I don't know. But that's what you're
feeling. I did a speed check, and it came out to 280.
Yeah, well, again, you can do that speed test several times a day, and you'll see it'll be different. And the closer you are to your modem, the faster it'll be as well.
Well, that's great. I appreciate your answers.
No problem.
Thank you, Will. Hey, this one says, we have our landline because the phone number is a legacy, having been in this family for 90 years.
Yep.
Can we keep the number and ditch the landline?
Yes, you can. You can actually keep your old landline number and go to a cell phone if you want to. And a lot of people are doing that. Well, they'll just have an extra cell phone hanging around their bedroom or whatever. And absolutely, you can transfer your current legacy landline number to an UMA or to a cell phone.
Would you recommend getting Apple Care for an iPhone?
Not really, unless my son once went into the Atlantic Ocean with the phone in his pocket. If you got one of those, yeah. But otherwise, I'm not a big believer in insurance if you're a responsible human.
Well, maybe you know if you are, but
if you have a brand new phone and you want to have insurance for maybe the first year.
Generally, these appliances are made so well by Apple that they don't break, although that's not the point. You break them.
Right, but there's now stores called You Break, We Fix, and that didn't happen even 5 years ago, where if you crack a screen back in the day, you had to replace the phone. Now you don't have to.
Okay. We're out of time, Harvey.
Oh, here we go again. We'll do it again.
If people want to reach you, what do you want them to do?
You can either text me at 312-307-1700 or email me at hmwellsradio@gmail.com or my website, lowertechbills.com.
You don't need to do
that. I know. I don't need W's. You're right. Lowertechbills.com.
312-307-1700. Or email hmwellsradio@gmail.com. We will invite him back.
And I'll go to your home and help you if you need to be.
He truly does that. Okay, thank you, Harvey. I don't know why he does that, but he does that. I'm like, Harvey, you need to charge more or get more people.
I need a life.
It's worth your while.